If you notice in Psalm 37:4, it says this: "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." And that's what I want to speak about this evening. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And I bet every single one of us, doesn't matter how young or what age we are, we've all been let down by somebody. Someone's made a promise, and as a result, because they've let us down, we have become disappointed with them, disappointed with situations maybe. And isn't it true that that new indispensable item that we longed after, maybe even saved up for, when it gets into our hands, it's not what it is meant to be. It's, you know, it's kind of just, well, what's it for? Why did I need it in the first place? And isn't it also true, I mean, it's true in my own life, and I bet it's in yours, and maybe in different circumstances, but it's still true, that the things we once cherished, the things that we once longed after, desired with all of our hearts, are now being sold for pennies on eBay or through some other method. So what's gone wrong here? Well, it's because we put our desire on the things of the world and not on the Lord. Of course, unsaved people can't do anything else than that, to put their trust in riches, to put their trust in the things of the world. And all earthly things, no matter what they are, will eventually, sooner or later, will lose their sheen, and will dispose of them, either in the dump, in the bin, or, as I said, through some other method, or which you simply become disenchanted with them. And years later, you know, you'd be rummaging through a box and say, oh, I didn't know I had that. Why did I ever buy that? And, you know, we can go on with that kind of thing. One of the main reasons why we often feel unfulfilled, restless, and dissatisfied is we put our trust in people, in things, or in ourselves. David said, delight thyself also in the Lord. So God, David says we should delight in God. Is God our delight? What does that mean? When I was coming up with this text, and it's been in mind a few times as I've read over it, I remember, I know we're not keen on the books, but some of you may have read or watched The Chronicles of Narnia. And one of the stories, I forget which one it is now, where one of them, I think it's Edmund, don't quote me on that, but he wants this Turkish delight from the Queen. And it's that thing he wants more than anything else, and he's willing to sell out his brother and sister because of that. He wants a Turkish delight. And, you know, I know Turkish delight, delight in the Lord. But you see the point, I think that is the point of the story, or that part of the story that C.S. Lewis was trying to bring out, is that we delight in things that are not eternal. We delight in things which will eventually destroy us. But the sad fact is, though, that there are many Christians who would read into this text when it says, delight thyself in the Lord, they think we should be positive thinkers, to delight in the Lord, to be positive about everything. And so we can skip our way through life with a constant smile upon our faces. But that is not what the scripture is talking about. David says, delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord. It can be translated as luxuriate thyself in the Lord. Oh, well, what does that mean now? Now, if on another thing, does it mean like when you get all your bubbles in the bath and you lay there for ages, you know, with all the oils and all that kind of stuff? Does it mean to be pampered and so on? No, it doesn't mean that at all. You see, we do those things, I don't mean me, but, you know, people do those things to the flesh, to beautify the flesh. But David says, instead of indulging our flesh, we should indulge our spirit or our soul in the Lord. So as you would bathe in perfumed water, maybe in bubble bath or whatever else it might be, David says, let's get in the Lord, let's delight ourselves in God, let him be the delight of our souls. So it's to be to delight in the presence of the Lord, or I can put it another way, as I've already used the word, to indulge ourselves in the Lord. You know what indulgence is about, don't you? I mean, indulgence in the flesh is a simple thing. So it is not, I suppose it connects to covetousness, to greed, and all the rest of it. But you can never sin indulging yourself in Christ. Our greatest joy is found in the Lord. And we read in Psalm 16:11, Thou shalt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And also in Psalm 36:8, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasure. So we can see then that we can find in the Lord all of our desire. If we want to be strong in our spirit, if we want to be blessed, if we want to know that which satisfies us, then it's found only in Christ. So the world can't have that. Only Christians, Bible-believing Christians, can have that. But you notice something very important in this text. There's two words which I want to bring out tonight, and they're both very important. And if we don't watch them, then we miss the point of the verse. And you know, you've got people who would get into thinking, well, this means we can be prosperous. But unless we watch the words, then we'll mislead ourselves. Notice the word thyself, delight thyself. David could have easily said, delight also in the Lord, and that would have been meaningful by itself, wouldn't it? That would have been great. But he said, delight thyself in the Lord, but he didn't. I know we always quote it that way, delight thyself in the Lord. And then even in one instance in my notes, I've done exactly that, delight thyself in the Lord, but he didn't say that. He said, delight thyself also in the Lord. So why is the word also there? Delight thyself also. It means that there's something we've got to do. It indicates an experience that does not come automatically, but requires action on our part. It requires commitment and dedication on our part. So the bottom line is this: we have to choose to make it possible. God does not give us the desires of our hearts. God does not bless us. God does not prosper us. God does not do all those wonderful things for us if we pay no attention to being in his presence. So we come into the presence of the Lord with joy in our hearts, but we come for a reason, so that we can delight in the Lord, so he becomes the focus of our attention. But we've got to make it happen. Now, there's this thing today which annoys me greatly going around the church. It's been going around for about the last 2 years, or maybe even a bit longer. Certainly in the last 2 years it's come to my notice, about soaking. And there's all this soaking music nowadays where you just bathe in the music. Listen, we don't bathe in the music of any man. The music might be wonderful, the songs might be tremendous, but they are still the works of men. We are to delight ourselves in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Not anywhere else, but in the Lord. If we want to bathe anywhere, let it be in the presence of God. You and I do not need to turn on a cassette. Well, that's old-fashioned today, isn't it? A CD, that's almost old-fashioned, or MP3s. We don't need to do that. We can simply bathe in the presence of God. We don't need external things to fulfill our lives, because then that means that your favorite singer satisfies your soul. That's a sad reflection upon the church, a part of the church today. David said, I will delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Psalm 40, verse 8. I delight to do thy will. I delight. I've got to do it. I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And you know the text, don't you, about hiding God's word in our hearts? So it's something we've got to do. If you hide something from somebody else, it's you that does it. I know that's a silly analogy, but you physically have to do that. It doesn't do it all by itself. If you hide yourself from somebody, it means that you do it by choice. And in action, you do it. David also said in Psalm 119, verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Do you notice these references? It's got something to do with God's word. That if we are to delight in the Lord, then we have to present ourselves before him as true, but we have to come God's way, and we have to be willing to listen to what God says. So David said, thy law is within my heart. He said, I will not forget thy word. And listen to Psalm 1 verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. His delight is in the law of the Lord. So if we want to truly know God, we can't do it from external sources. We've got to do it with what God has given us. And it seems to me that one of the quickest and easiest ways to do that is to come before God's word, to read and meditate upon God's word, to see what God has said, what God is going to do through those who commit themselves to him. His delight is in the law, in the Lord, the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's to delight yourself in God. That's to luxuriate in the presence of God. But there is also another little word, and probably the most important one of them all, and I've already indicated what it is. Our delight, says David, must be in the Lord. That little word, in. We have to be in Christ. We have to be in the Lord to receive the blessing. And in many things in life, they say about competitions, don't they? You've got to be in it to win it. If you're not in it, you can't win. And we've got to be in the Lord before we can receive of his blessings. So it's very important that we find ourselves in the Lord, not in things, not filling our minds with things, the things that we think we need, not in people, not even in ourselves. Some people are just full of themselves, and they love themselves, and they think that they're their own God. They are their own God. He alone is to be the center point of our affection. Scripture says, set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth, Colossians 3:2. There's a very good reason for that, because if we do set our affection, center our affection, if you like, on things above, on God himself, then we'll never be disappointed. We'll never find ourselves dissatisfied or restless. And there's that wonderful text in John 15:4, Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. You see, isn't it true? I know we discussed this when we were talking about the vine and the parable of the vine. But lots of Christians think that everything in the Christian life is automatic. They will be automatically blessed, and they misunderstand what has actually happened. There are common graces. Because doesn't God say, he shines his sun on the righteous and the unrighteous? There's no distinction. The rain comes on the righteous and the unrighteous. There are common graces to every man. We shouldn't think that they are the special graces that God has given to his people. So none of these things come automatically for a believer. We have to present ourselves before God. We have to be literally in Christ. And that opens up lots of thoughts and ideas about our belief in Christ. But I've got to limit myself to what I'm speaking of here. So it's the person and the presence of God we're talking about. And I find it very difficult to make a distinction. There is a distinction between the person and the presence of God. There is the person of God, and he dwells in the heavens. Sure, he does that. But it's the presence of God also. And because God is a person doesn't mean we have his presence in our lives. But I do think because of that, it all comes down to his omnipresence. Virtually the same thing, his presence and his person is the same thing. So when we want God in our lives, we want his presence in our lives. We don't want him to be a distant God. He's not the God of the hills. He's not the God of the valleys. He's the God of the heart. He's the God who dwells in each one of us. Which includes the thought then that we should worship this God. This is the God we worship for who he is and what he's done for us. I think those two aspects are very important for us. We worship God for who he is, but we also worship God for what he does. The Bible says in Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." So we've got that. We worship God for who he is. But then David goes on, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." So let's thank God for what he's done for us. And because of what he's done in the past, we know he can do again in the future. So besides his presence, his person and his presence, it's wonderful to delight in his presence and in his person. But we can also delight in his power, provision, patience, peace, promises, protection, purposes. You see, there's lots of peace in the pod, isn't there? So we can delight in his power, his provision, patience, peace, promises, protection, and purposes. We have a wonderful God, and it's a God who we can delight in. It calls for our attention, and it's important here that we don't fail to notice what the word, what the text describes to us. The Bible says, "For if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will give us the desires of our heart." I mean, just it would have been just enough. Delight thyself also in the Lord, full stop. But David gives that promise that we can take to heart. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. What a wonderful text to take as a promise. Because it's not a promise to one person, one individual. It's a promise to all who believe. Is there a New Testament version of that, do you think? Could we find a text similar to that in the New Testament? Anyone know? Don't you tell me like the book. Come. Yeah, very good. Very good. So Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Exactly that. Doesn't it fit exactly? Well, not word for word, surely, I know that, but the same thoughts are there, aren't they? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of thy heart. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Exactly the same thought. So why don't we do it? So seeking first the kingdom of God, what does that mean? Well, it's exactly what David said in the Psalms, as we've read tonight. I've read tonight. It's that we come to God's word. We put God's word in our hearts. We don't forget God's word. We store it up. If we seek first the kingdom of God, yes, it means more than that. I know that. But it's part of it. It's coming to God in the way that God expects us to. If we seek God's righteousness in our lives, if that's our delight to do God's will, then he will give us all the things that we need in our lives. This doesn't suggest to us, it shouldn't suggest to us, as some people say, that we are only seeking God for things. We only serve God so we can have things. Well, good thing about this is that God doesn't give us the things that we want if it's not according to his will. So we can't seek God for things. Yes, of course we can, but we won't get them. Or not in the way that God wants us to. God always takes care of his own people. He never disappoints them. Things go wrong and all that. There are dilemmas and situations in our lives which are traumatic. But then isn't that true with the people in the world? Okay, a problem happens to us. We have a trauma in our lives, and you know, it really upsets us, and we're beside ourselves with worry and so on. Yet, think about this for a moment to bring it into focus. Have we ever been hit by a tsunami or an earthquake, you know, that devastates your town? Has a volcano ever exploded in Liverpool and destroyed the whole environment? You know, has there been a multiple train, airplane, or whatever crash in our facility that has really destroyed the locality, your life, your home, and everything? Of course not. Really, we make mountains out of molehills, don't we? The little things, I know they're important at the time, but really we do pump things up bigger than what they are. Well, listen to what David said in Psalm 37, 25. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God always provides for his own, and you and I here are here tonight as a testimony of that fact. The many years that you've been a Christian, you faced many trials and tribulations, but you're still going on with the Lord. It's living proof that God has not forsaken you. You see, God never forsakes his own. And one of the great things about that, one of the reasons for that, is because you don't forsake him. You keep on living for him despite the cruel circumstances. So we delight in the Lord despite the blessings or the gifts or the problems, I suppose, that come our way. Yes, I have to admit that it's possible to get all that we want through means, through different means, and then deceive ourselves into thinking that they've come to us from God, despite the fact that we don't honor God and our commitment to him is very weak. So, put another way, we think that our weak commitment means nothing to God, that he will bless us anyway. There are many Christians who live by that standard. But that is a sad thing. They may get many things in their lives and congratulate themselves of having many things and think that what they've got comes from God, but in fact they are deceiving themselves. It tells us in Psalm 106:13 about Israel, they soon forgot their works, so they left off serving God. They started going their own way. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Physically blessed in some ways, but they got it themselves. Remember, they got many things by themselves and by complaining and by moaning. They forgot God, but they wanted all the things that God could give. But then, what's the use of having prosperity if we're poor in our spirit? And that was a sad truth of Israel. Instead of that, we can be like David. We can focus on the Lord like David did when he said, one thing I have desired of the Lord. That's what I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. If you really think that David was saying, I'd like to live in the tabernacle all the days of my life, never step foot outside of the tent, the tabernacle, the sanctuary of God, but live myself in there, then I'd be protected, then I wouldn't think any evil thing, then I would, you know, really be in the presence of God. I don't think he means that at all. Just like I don't think it means when he says, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, that he's got to live at the top of the mountain with clean hands and pure heart. It's his personal, everyday life that he's talking about here. It's as though you're in the Holy of Holies every day of your life. That's what David is talking about. To behold the beauty of the Lord. I mean, think about it. There's a wonderful connection there, isn't there? Where I said the word delight can also mean luxuriate, to indulge ourselves. And David says to behold the beauty of the Lord. So it's not us, is it? It's not we who are the beautiful ones. It's God is the beautiful one. We behold God's beauty, to inquire in his temple. God always gives to his people. That's the assurance that we can take away with us. God always gives to his people. So here's a promise of a God who's open-handed. His hands are outstretched toward us with all of his benefits. And he is the source of all that is good for our souls. So, 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, all the promises of God, well, you know the little word that comes next, don't you? In him, or yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God. And I always think this is an unusual way of saying things. Unto the glory of God by us. Well, it could say, it would seem to me to better say, for us, because of us, on account of us, or something like that, but he says, by us. And I think Paul is saying to us that, yes, all the promises of God in him are yea and amen, but God gets the glory by putting them in our lives. He gives us so many things, and they are all because of Christ. So no longer is it because of living by Old Testament rules and regulations. It's now living by the presence of Christ in our lives. James says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. As has been rightly said, God provides all of our needs, not all of our greeds. So what is it that we truly want in this life? Is it like David, we want the presence of God, or do we want something else? We can be sure of this thing, that God always answers the prayers of his people. The Bible tells us, when there's faith in our hearts, God says, God has promised, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So the reward comes by diligently seeking him. Use David's term, delight ourselves in the Lord, and he shall give us the desires of our heart. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Wonderful text in Psalm 65:24. I suppose we could say like this, when we're talking about wanting things, desiring things, we should only ever want what God wants, and we should never want what God doesn't want. Only according to the will of God. Listen to what John says in 1 John chapter 5, 14, 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we, what's the word? Desired of him. So this word desire and its variants are found lots of places in Scripture. It's to desire the Lord, and he will give us the desires of our hearts. So in closing, the world can't even offer us, it can pretend to offer, but it can't offer us satisfaction for our souls, what our souls truly yearn for. So what do we truly yearn for? The people who don't know Christ are like the beasts of the field. That's what David says, the Bible says it. They're like the beasts of the field. That means their passions are like the animals. They only want exactly like the beasts of the field. And it's honest, I know it's on different levels, but the beast of the field, I mean, think of have you ever seen a bird, pigeons out on a field? There's one thing you'll see about a pigeon, and it never stops doing this while it's awake, of course, is pecking, 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 looking for food all the time. And this is in the mind of the bird to want to be fed, to provide. It's the animal things of life, shelter, food, and so on. And isn't man exactly like that? Why do we bother wasting our time, energy, and money seeking after delight in this world? It comes to nothing. Isaiah 55:2 says, "Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul..." What's the word that comes next? "Let your soul delight itself in fatness." You should have caught up with this already. Delight yourself in the Lord. So let me read that text to you again. "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye of that which is good." Taste and see that the Lord is good. "And let your soul delight itself in fatness," in the good things that God has given. Our delight must be in God alone. "As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God." And there it is. We can delight in the Lord, and all the good things that God wants to give to us will come our way. We don't put our attention or our affection on things that come our way. We put our attention and affection on God himself. If we do that, then we will be blessed in ways that are beyond our imagination, in ways that the world can never know or understand.